We started a series last Wednesday on wisdom. I entitled the series, Getting Wisdom. I take that title from Proverbs chapter 4, if you want to turn there in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son." We know Solomon writing this about David. "Tender and only, beloved in the sight of my mother, Bathsheba. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." Now Solomon, instructing his son, verse number 5, says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not," speaking of wisdom, "and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And so Solomon, having received the instruction from his father David on the importance of wisdom, has made the request to God, and God honored that request, and God gave him wisdom. He was the wisest man to ever walk upon the face of the earth. Now he is instructing his son. And he's instructing his son on the same subject, the importance of wisdom. And I find that we live in a day to day where wisdom is still needed by the church. It's still needed by God's people. We looked at that last week, the need for wisdom. We went to James chapter 3, and we looked at how James divided wisdom into two categories. And he said that there was a earthly wisdom, and that wisdom that was earthly was sensual and devilish. And then there was a wisdom that was from above. And the wisdom from above was pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And we looked at that last week about the two different types of wisdom. One, worldly wisdom, earthly wisdom. Solomon used the phrase in the book of Ecclesiastes, under the sun. Wisdom that was under the sun, or wisdom that would be void of the person or character or thought of God. And so Solomon, when he wrote the book of Proverbs, was letting us know the blessing of wisdom that's from above and the blessing of wisdom that comes from a godliness and God's word. But the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, there was a time in my life when I searched for wisdom underneath the sun or upon the earth from the mentality of the absence of God. And that the search for that was vexation and vanity of spirit. And we said that earthly wisdom is demonic in its origin. It's exposed through our senses. And so earthly wisdom, wisdom that's not from above, finds its lodging, finds its receptivity, finds its exposure in a man's senses. And we've got five senses. And so we use the phrase, that makes sense to me. We use the phrase, common sense. We put a lot of trust in that which is sensible. But you must be careful and understand that our senses need to be submitted to that of faith. And so worldly wisdom will always find its exposure and its fulfillment in making sense. And then we found in James chapter 3 that the culmination of earthly wisdom was that there was strife, there was selfishness, there was envy, there was confusion, and there was evil that was working. Now, if that's not a description of our day, I don't know what is. And so then we contrasted that with wisdom that was from above that had Christ as its origin. It was exposed through faith, and it culminated in righteousness and in peace. And so that was the wisdom that we want to be part of our lives. That is the wisdom that where there is blessing. That is the wisdom that God's people need. And so we went to the book of Colossians, and the Apostle Paul was sharing with us why we need wisdom. And the reason that we need wisdom is because that believers are susceptible to being beguiled. And Paul said there's a show of wisdom upon the earth. And the show of wisdom is that which is just a shadow of wisdom. It's not real wisdom. There's this earthly wisdom. It can be garbed in religion. It can be disguised and deceptible in other ways. But it has not at the root or the authority wisdom from above. And he says, it's very enticing in man's words, and it will make sense to your five senses. It will taste good, smell good, feel good, sound good, look good. And he says, the problem is the church is being beguiled by these things and set off in a different direction. And Paul was jerking them back in their thought process to the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And he said, it's in Christ in whom is hid all the treasures of wisdom. He said, it's in Christ that ye are made complete. So then if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek the wisdom that beeth from above. It ought to matter to God's child that he has God's wisdom. We ought to want it. We ought to understand our need for it. And I believe we live in a day when I'm not so sure that even God's people care whether or not we know the wisdom of God. And I'm not necessarily sure that we're dominated by the thought of what is true wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine... Anybody know those two words? Own understanding. And I find that even as a child of God and a believer in Christ, I can be dominated with my own understanding. One of the greatest steps of Christian growth you will ever take is to learn how to be afraid of your own thinking. You have to understand that our own understanding can be dangerous to us. Sometimes I hear people say, well, it seems to me. Whenever I have somebody say, well, it seems to me, my antenna goes up. Or well, this is how I see it. And part of growing in Christ and maturing in the faith is recognizing, not trusting my own thinking. That's why we pray. That's why we search the mind of God. And James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So if I'm not asking God for wisdom, then I must just feel like I already have wisdom. And so you think about the average believer, how little we spend asking God for his wisdom. And so if I'm not asking God for wisdom, then I must be living and working in mine own wisdom. Somewhere I operate according to somebody's wisdom. I either operate from my own understanding and worldly wisdom, or I operate from the leadership of the Spirit of God and the wisdom that is from above. But there is some kind of motivation for what I do. And so as I grow in the Lord and read the Word of God, and as I learn myself, and as I understand the danger and the weakness of flesh, I am afraid of my own thinking. That's why you need to be careful about impulse. That's why there's verses in the Bible that talk about quick decisions. That's why you need to pray and ask God and wait for the leadership. Wait for peace. And so I'm not sure that we have godly people today that value God's wisdom. And the reason I can say that is because we ask for it so little. And if I don't ask for God's wisdom, then I must be resting on my own understanding. And let me tell you something. There's a vast difference between our understanding and the wisdom of God. And if I follow my own understanding, I have no security. I say it this way. I have this phrase. I pray so I can trust things. I don't even trust my own decisions. I don't even trust what message I'm going to preach. I'm careful about what I trust. If I don't have the mind of God, how do I know if I haven't prayed? How do I know I can trust buying this car? How do I know I can trust asking this person to marry me? How do I know I can trust this business decision? How do I know I can trust this model in my... How do I know? Because I cannot trust my own thinking. Pastor, that offends me that you're calling me, belittling me in my thinking. I'm not belittling you. Man's imagination is absolutely phenomenal. Do you remember when they were building the Tower of Babel, God had to come down and distort that language because God said, whatever man could imagine, he would be able to accomplish. The problem is our imagination and our thinking is sinful. It's based on human nature. It's not based on the Word of God. Therefore, it's not trustworthy unless it is submitted to the Word of God. Now, this blows my mind because here we are, and we don't ask for wisdom. Therefore, we think we possess our wisdom. And the fact that we don't ask for wisdom is amazing, especially when you read the Bible and you find out what the Bible says, how valuable wisdom is. I want to read you some verses here, and we're going to get to Job in just a minute. But listen to just some things that men of God had said about wisdom. In Proverbs or in Job 28, verse 16, it said, it cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. So wisdom is more precious than those stones. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So wisdom is better than silver, better than gold, it's better than precious stones. Proverbs 8, chapter 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Ecclesiastes 2:13, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as the light excelleth darkness. Ecclesiastes 7:19, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Solomon would later write in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So Solomon says, listen, wisdom is way more valuable than gold, silver, precious stones. So instead of buying gold, I wonder how many of you have bought gold in the last 3 years? 5 years. Some of you have cashed all your, you've moved all your money from your IRA and you've moved it into gold. Some of you got gold buried in your house. Some of you got gold put in your safe deposit box. Some of you have calculated and you figured, okay, now I've got 25% here, but I've got to go buy gold. And you have gone through this whole long process of buying gold. Solomon said, instead of buying gold, buy wisdom. I wonder what kind of response we would get up if we stood up in Christendom and said, everybody go sell your gold and everybody come buy wisdom. You would think I would be a fool. But I want you to understand something. There's no foolishness in this book. So all of you that have bought gold might want to consider buying wisdom. Solomon said, buy wisdom. Don't sell it. Keep it. Do you know that Isaiah said about wisdom? Isaiah said that wisdom would be the stability of the times. You think about how unstable of a situation in a world we live in today. And you think about the volatility of our world. And Solomon or Isaiah, looking into the tribulation period and looking into that time when Israel would be cared for, he said it would be wisdom that would bring the stability of thy times. A lot of our families are so unstable because we haven't seen the value of God's wisdom. And when I go in my own understanding and I go as a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, all my wisdom is able to do is to create instability. But I can take a very unstable situation and bring the wisdom of God into that instability and immediately find my feet on the solid rock and stability. That's the power of God's wisdom. Now, having said all that, go to Job chapter number 28. Let me show you what Job said about wisdom. This is outstanding in Job 28. Job, I don't know if you know this or not, Job might be toward the middle of your Bible, but he's one of the earliest men to live on the face of the earth. They really believe that the book of Job was one of the earliest books, if not the earliest book, to be written in the Bible. And so if it is the earliest book, and he is one of the men that is closest to creation here, if you come to Job 28 and look at verse number 12, they were talking about wisdom back then. But where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. That's amazing. You think about that. As early as this book possibly could be, and think of all the technology that has come forward to where we live now, and still, in the land of the living, there's not satisfaction wisdom. The depth, verse 14, saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it is not with me. Speaking of wisdom. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof, which means it's more valuable. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir or with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. He wouldn't even sell it to you. The gold couldn't even buy it. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls. For the price of wisdom, finish that verse, class, is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it. Neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Now look this way. All of these verses, absolutely every one of these things, speak to us about the value of wisdom. So then that begs a question from the preacher, and it begs a question about the preacher's life. If it speaks of that kind of value, why aren't we searching for it? Why aren't we eager to go after the wisdom of God? Why don't we ask God for wisdom? See, we don't spend as much time maybe on our knees. We don't spend as much time here. I'm convinced that I'm not sure that church people understand the value of wisdom. And one of the reasons, and I'm not kicking you when you're down, but I'll just say this. I think it probably goes with the level of Bible reading we have. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what, class? Word of God. But if I'm not reading God's word, how do I know the value of wisdom? It's funny, we get finance magazines and we read the value of these coins. We read the value of our stocks. We read the value of certain directions. We read the value of the market. We read the value of the home price. Some of you can quote me what the Dow closed at today. Some of you can tell me how much your house has gone up. Some of you have checked all of this. And we read things searching for value. You have a, what's that magazine where you find the best bang for your buck? You're going to buy something? Consumer Reports. Don't raise your hand, but how many subscribe to Consumer Reports? But when it comes to the Word of God, which to us should be precious, I'm not sure we're searching for what it says is valuable. By the way, boy, I can't find it. I didn't write it down. But I know there's a verse in the Bible that says wisdom is more valuable than weapons. Interesting. I hear a lot of talk about stockpiling weapons. I own weapons. I have a permit to carry a weapon. I like shooting. But it just shows me that we're packing our safe deposit box full of gold. Our closet's full of weapons. My weapon's not in my closet. Don't come take it. Our ammo boxes are full of ammo. We've got cash. But who's valuing wisdom? Do you get that point? Say amen if you do.
Amen.
Why would we not search for wisdom? Job goes on in Job chapter 28. And he answers the question of what is true wisdom. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 22. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. I love that. To make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and he searched it out. And unto man he said, read that verse out loud with me. Here we go. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. What is true wisdom? True wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Job picked up on that. And Job said, now listen, when you think about how great God is and the wisdom of God, listen, true wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Solomon picked up on that. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, if you would, please. Proverbs 1. And look at verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Why did he write the book? Verse number 2. To know, say the word, wisdom. To know wisdom. If you come down in chapter 1, and you come, I'll just read the rest of those verses because they're precious. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. All right, now Job said, true wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Solomon said, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now look where it takes us after verse number 7. He goes on to describe a little bit about how wisdom springs forth, how it should go. Verse number 8, what's that word? Son. How many have a son in the room? You have a son. Your responsibility is to teach your son or your daughter wisdom. Did you hear the preacher? It's not my job. It's not Jay's job. It's not Reuben's job. It is your job to teach your kid wisdom. Not how to make a living. Not how to survive in a culture. Not how to do all this. Our job as parents is to teach our kids true wisdom. It's your job. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if I am a parent and I'm going to teach a child wisdom, I begin at what point? The fear of the Lord. He goes on in verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. What is he saying? He's saying wisdom will ornate and decorate your child. Wisdom will bring beauty to your child. Wisdom will allow your child to know grace and for the head around his head and chains about thy neck. And to ornament your child, ornament them for the glory of God. They need to be taught that wisdom, instructed by the father, the law of the mother. There's unity in there, teaching wisdom. Now here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I haven't given you my definition of wisdom yet. I'm going to give it to you at the end. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon says, mom and dad, teach your kid wisdom. And its initial aspect here is it's an intellectual. It's in the head. It's in their mind. So there's to be this intellectual, instructive learning that you are to teach your kid. Now, let me tell you something. You can't teach something you don't know. And you can't give something you don't have. It's hard to teach about wisdom if you're not walking in wisdom. It's hard to teach the oracles of God if you don't know the oracles of God. So before I'm going to teach it, I must learn it and become a student of that. But wisdom that's just intellectual is not sufficient. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 10, if you would. Where wisdom really finds its authority and its power is in verse number 10. When wisdom entereth into thine, say it, class, heart. So, Solomon says, now the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Dad and mom, instruct. But it also needs to get into their heart. Why does it need to get into their heart? Because the Bible says, with the heart man does what? Believeth. So you don't believe in your mind. You understand in your mind, and you have intellect in your mind, and you have logic in your mind, and you have process in your mind, and you're able to receive information, but you believe in your heart. Now also, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, finish that verse, so is he. So if wisdom is up here and not here, it's not able to affect the child. So there has to be the instruction, and there has to be the understanding and the reading of God's word and the teaching, but it must be in our heart. And if wisdom is in our heart, then it will affect our behavior. It will affect our belief. It will affect our words. It will affect our attitude. It will affect everything about us when wisdom enters our heart. He goes on. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. By the way, that knowledge is speaking of the word of God. Then discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. See, wisdom has power. Why? True wisdom is the ability to bring discretion. It's the ability to preserve. It keeps us. Listen. Wisdom is a protection for your life, valuable protection. And we don't understand it necessarily, and we don't see it as being that protective. But how many of us have been hurt from a non-discretionary moment? How many of us have been of our people are being destroyed and not preserved? How many of them are not being kept and secure and face such difficulty because they didn't operate under wisdom that was from above? It may have been in their mind, but it wasn't in their heart. They didn't see the value of that wisdom. And so they go forward on their own understanding, and there was no discretion. Listen, there's nothing more embarrassing than a non-discreet person, especially if it's a woman. I'll talk to you about that later. Don't get angry at me. I mean that. Discretion. Wisdom brings about discretion. It brings about preservation. It brings about keeping. Why would we not ask God for wisdom? He goes on. Look at what it keeps you from. It keeps you, in verse number 12, from a villainous man. And if you look at verse number 16, it'll keep you from a vile woman. Number 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Why do you need wisdom? You need wisdom to be delivered from the evil man. Here is a description of the evil man. From the man that speaketh froward things. How gullible we are with man's words. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, if a man speak, let him speak what, class? The oracles of God. You have got to learn or you will be destroyed. You have got to learn how to take a man's sentence and words, no matter how forceful, how educated, or whatever they are, you've got to learn how to process that through God's wisdom. And so you cannot just receive words without letting them filter through the Word of God. I try, I'm not always successful, but everything I hear from somebody, I'm always trying to find some Bible verse that it agrees with on. And if I hear something and I'm pricked in my spirit, I've learned to be cautious about that, because an evil man and a villainous man will speak with the foreignness of words, and wisdom helps be a discretion and a keeper against those words. He goes on to describe. Look at verse number 13. This man will leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. See, wisdom will be able to detect what's light and what's dark. The man rejoice to do evil, man, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. And that's why wisdom is so needed. It's needed in our heart. It's needed for us to measure the words we hear. It's needed for us to be able to determine between light and darkness. And by the way, Satan is called an angel of... Just because something seems like it's light doesn't mean it is light. And so just so something seems to be spiritual doesn't necessarily mean it is spiritual. I had a little book that somebody must have given my wife. The book is called Jesus Calling. If you're reading the Jesus Calling book, you need to stop. Do you understand that that woman says that God gives her personal meditations? Do you know she's taking her meditations and exhorting them above the Word of God? Flip it, read through it. Right then and there. Oh, it looks pretty. I went in the Christian bookstore today and the whole shelf's full of them. And right there, she says, God reveals to me personal meditations. Let me tell you something. God's already revealed His meditation. It's called His Word. Be careful. And we don't process that. And so we just let things go. Villainous man. Keep going down to the vile woman. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Men, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go under her return again. If you go back up to verse number 11, it said, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. This woman, none that go under her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Let me tell you something. We need true Bible wisdom in our lives. We better see the value of it. He goes on in verse number 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now, let me wrap it up. I'm almost done. All throughout the Word of God, wisdom is assigned a value that is priceless. It's above everything. Job said, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Now, let me explain to you what the fear of the Lord is. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord, Pastor? The fear of the Lord is a reverence for God's holiness and power, which results in obedience and carefulness. I thought that was a great definition. It is a reverence for God's holiness and power, which results in obedience and carefulness. So where does wisdom begin? What is wisdom? It's the reverence for God's holiness and power, which results in obedience and carefulness. And really, it's that thought of God being feared as a child would fear his father. The father loves the child, and the father wants what's best for the child, but the child has a reverence and an awe and a fear for the dad. He doesn't disobey because he doesn't want to be chastened, and he obeys because he loves. And there's that wonderful love reunion and union there. And that's what the fear of the Lord is. So if I'm going to have wisdom, I'm going to have a reverence for God in his holiness and in his power. I'm going to know him as my father, and I'm going to have this reverential fear where I don't want to disobey him, but a love that I do want to obey him. And I'm going to respect his holiness and that power, and it's going to bring me about in obedience and carefulness. Let me tell you, you want to begin the day with wisdom? Just begin by thinking, just begin by worrying about offending God throughout the day. What does God think about this? I want to be careful to make sure that God is honored and pleased in my life today. If you will wake up in the morning and ask the Spirit of God to fill you, lead you, guide you, and control you, and then leave the house worried about and being careful about following the Lord, I guarantee you it will change the direction of your day. So Job said, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Solomon said, it's the beginning of wisdom, and it goes forward from there and branches out, and I'll show that to you. Here's my definition of true wisdom. I think you ought to write it down. True wisdom would be the knowledge and fear of the Lord that results in a love for truth and righteousness and a hatred of sin. True wisdom would be the knowledge and fear of the Lord that results in a love for truth and righteousness and a hatred of sin. And that's what Solomon was telling us. He's saying, now listen, my son, walk in truth. Wisdom is truth and righteousness. That's what it's good. And when I have the knowledge and fear of the Lord, I have a love for truth and righteous. And then I have a hatred for sin, which means I don't want to go down that path with that vile woman. I don't want to stand in the way of that villainous man. I want for the Lord to be pleased about everything. And so true biblical wisdom is the knowledge and fear of the Lord that loves truth and righteousness and has a hatred of sin. And if I will begin to operate under that wisdom and that direction, I believe you'll know blessing and joy and peace in our lives. Let me tell you, there is value in wisdom. And God's people would say, amen. Amen. We need to buy it. We need to not sell it. We need to live in light of it. We need to ask God for it. We need to understand the fear of the Lord. We need to let wisdom bring us into a love for truth and righteousness and a hatred of sin. Man, I studied for this message and I began to read about the value of wisdom, and I thought, all these years and the little wisdom that I had bought. How many of you owned gold when it was $200 an ounce? You made a little money, didn't you? Because it's gone up. Don't you wish you'd have bought gold when it was $50 an ounce? And cashed in. I know a guy in my dad's old church, when Y2K came, this guy was a millionaire, gazillionaire. Every rocket the United States shot at somebody had his part on it. He took over $1 million and went and bought gold bullion. And he buried it all over his property. And, you know, he was one of those guys that thought Y2K, the whole world was going to go crazy. So it didn't go crazy, and he's got all this gold buried all over his property, you know. Well, he ended up dying, and he left his wife there, and she began to discover 5-gallon pails of bucket of gold. She called it the soup for bullion. I'm not lying to you. They backed an 18-wheeler up down his driveway under heavy guard and loaded buckets of, I don't know where he got all that gold bullion. I have no idea. He was a very gifted, capable man. I don't know how he got it all, but it was bucket after bucket after bucket after bucket of gold just to survive Y2K. If you would use that analogy and we would begin to buy a little bit of God's wisdom, I promise you there's a greater return on God's wisdom than there will ever be on man's gold. We need wisdom, a love for truth and righteousness, and a hatred for sin. Bless our lives. Shall we pray?